Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is me, Becky Bateman, back again for another Add a Toy Pathways to Art. Gosh, that was a bit of a menopause brain there. I'd almost forgotten what the title of my show was. Back again for July, halfway through the year, which is extraordinary. I'm sure everyone will agree with me that I can't believe it's already June. We've got two fabulous guests on today. Someone a bit different. We usually have an artist or two, but today we've got my two fabulous colleagues, Sarah McClintock, who's a veteran of this show and many of these RFM shows, and a newbie. We have lovely Cheryl Galloway, our new educator, who I've dragged along to come and talk to us about what she's up to. So thank you, ladies. Thank you for coming and joining me this afternoon.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. So, Cheryl, are you okay?
Yep. Happy to be here.
Oh, good. Good. Cheryl, we're actually going to start with you because I know you have to rush off this afternoon.
Yep.
So, Cheryl, do you want to introduce yourself as our new Arrow Toy educator? Who are you? What are you going to do? All that jazz.
Sure. Hello, listeners. Thank you, Becky, for inviting me in. Who am I? So originally I come from Brighton.
I thought there was a UK accent hidden in there.
Out there today, we were just talking about it's quite blustery out there and there's a southerly coming in.
Reminds us of England.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely had a Brighton on a blustery day feel out there today. So, you know me as Cheryl. I invite the kids to know me as Fire Sea.
That's
like the ocean.
Like the ocean. Hang on, there's a theme.
It's one of my favourite things. So actually went to art college in Brighton.
Ah, another artist.
Yeah.
I begin to feel a little bit alone in Alatoy, being the only non-artist.
I'm not an artist.
Oh, you're pretty creative, though.
Everyone's creative.
Mm. In their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. What kind of art do you like, Cheryl? What kind of things do you do?
Oh, well, you know, what I was talking to someone the other day, it's been 30 years of, you know, exploring art. So what I've come to realise is there are so many types of art and ways of making and experiencing. So it's changed over the years. I did think that when I was younger, I had to choose.
A lot of people do, don't they? Like, I have to like paint. I have to like craft. Yeah. I have to like something. But actually, do it all.
Yeah, and I heard, is it Laurie Anderson was interviewed about her work, and she's a multidisciplinary artist, and she chose to call herself that because it gave her options.
Yeah,
and she didn't want to be pigeonholed.
Fair enough.
Into being a painter, a sculptor. So I think what I'm saying is I have a similar approach.
Nice.
To my work.
Okay, what have you done recently?
Well, what have I done recently? So I'm part of an art collective, the Tramping Gently Club Art Collective, which we have an acronym for because it's very long.
What's the acronym?
TGCAC.
I think you need to spell a word. I think that'd be much more fun.
I suppose fairly recently we invited... during Conservation Week at Martinborough Library, people to come along and kind of co-create a installation,
which was nice.
Painting quite uniform, carefully selected pieces of driftwood.
Oh.
Pre-sanded, pre-selected.
Okay.
I believe it's still hanging up outside of Martinborough Library. So
amazing.
If you look that way, you can have a look.
I shall go and have a look. Listeners, go and have a look.
Probably blowing around on a day like today, but, you know.
Probably. Well, that's pretty cool that you're still kind of got your hands in there doing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we also liked to butt in. We also liked that Cheryl's art practice is quite collaborative, which is, as an art educator, it's
pretty great. Handy.
It's very handy to have that skill set.
So tell us about your educating role then, because you've just started literally last week, didn't you?
Yes.
Your second week, and I've dragged onto the radio.
Yes, I wasn't going to mention that, but seeing as you have.
throw you in the deep end.
I'm thrilled. I mean, week one last week, it's been a whirlwind, and I knew it would be. Always is when you start a new job. And week two, here I am on the radio.
One of us already, Cheryl.
But I knew fairly early on that I felt like I'd found a good place.
We are a good team.
We are.
It's a good place to work. Isn't it? We're all just so nice.
And I was really excited when I left on Friday about the week. The next week?
Oh, bless. Oh. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't scare her away,
did we? We didn't. Oh, thank goodness. So tell me about what are your plans for education this year? Because obviously you're following on from Tash, who's gone off to Whanganui National Museum.
Shout out to Tash.
Natasha. Yeah, she better be listening.
Yeah. I had a really great 3 days with Tash. Felt really fortunate to have that time with her and have such a good handover. She left things in an amazing way for me to kind of take over. So term three, animation.
Fabulous.
Exploring that. And I was quite excited to learn that Simon Ray is going to be having an exhibition during that time. And I got to talk to him last week about his work and about the exhibition. And we got to come up with some ideas together for the education program in terms of.
Nice.
So it will be fun. It will involve a bit of movement.
Yes, because his exhibition is all about train and commuting and kind of seeing the landscape kind of blurring past, isn't it? And kind
can't
of
can't wait to see it.
It's going to be really fun.
I'm really excited because his process is really interesting for that piece of work. And I think that will come across in the exhibition.
Mm.
And I think the kids will be really into that sort of process.
I'm looking forward to seeing if we can see either Kim or Andy just in the pictures.
Yes, exactly. Seeing if you can spot people it's going to be very fun.
There's Jeff, you know, because I think a lot of these people he's drawn don't know they've been drawn.
Well, I did wonder. I might be in there myself.
Well, yes.
I actually met Simon for the first time at Vic Uni. I was there teaching first year students in their first term.
Wow.
And we met there and discovered that we're both from the Wairarapa, and he was great. He really took me under my wing. He's been there for a while.
Yeah.
And I've sat with him on the train and I've noticed him drawing.
And you're like, hang on a minute. Is that
now
me?
Now I know.
Now you know what he was up to.
Yeah.
Yes. I was talking to him and he was like, he used to tell people before he was going to draw them, and then people would kind of strike this pose, and he's like, that's not really what this is all about, really. But I have noticed he sent me a few pictures, and they're all quite craggy old men. I was like, hang on a minute. There's a bit of a style going on here. He likes drawing, obviously, interesting featured men.
Although I wonder if he stays in the same compartment because there is a culture of the train in which people have their seats.
Yep.
Groups have their, I have heard of someone making the faux pas of going into one of the four-seated tables and getting glared at by the people who normally sit in that chair, that set of seats. So it'd be interesting to know if he migrates throughout the carriages.
That's a great question. Well, he's going to come in here in August, so I'll ask him that one.
Good.
And go, Simon, do you have a spot on the train or not? Interesting. Now, that sounds a really fun theme for schools. What kind of material are you going to use?
Not sure yet. I'm still working with Simon on that. We talked about different materials. I think the idea is to sort of give students the opportunity to play with and understand the process of making an animation.
Fantastic.
Because now you have so many software and apps and websites that you can do it very quickly without really understanding. And that's why I quite like his show, is because it kind of exposes the nuts and bolts behind something that starts digital, becomes analog, and ends up digital again. So I think we'll work with whichever materials lend themselves to that kind of process.
Fair enough. Yeah, he was interested.
Mixed media.
He was in mixed media, indeed. Your forte. He was interesting to talk to about the use of AI and as well. I think that's going to be an interesting way in for a lot of people. Is this digitally created, like you're saying, but it's analog. He's painted every single cell, you know, he's drawn every single person, but actually kind of making them alive. Yeah, it's going to be quite an interesting show, that one, I think. Now, I know, Cheryl, you do need to disappear off pretty quickly, but just one more question for education. Why should schools even bother coming to Adderjoy? Why should they?
Ready for this one.
You've written this one down. Hold on a moment.
So we all know art matters in this room, and hopefully our listeners too. And if not, perhaps we can convince you. more than ever right now, I feel. And if you bring your lovely students to one of our education programs, it's curriculum aligned.
Well, that's really good. Tick for that.
And more recently, I think neuroscience has proved that art is also good for us, good for our well-being, in a similar way to physical activity. So that's another big tick. And education out of the classroom.
Well, that's a big thing, is it? Trying to get out of the classroom into the real world.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, yes, those are the big three for me. And I'm really looking forward to meet your tamariki and your students. So you'd like to know how you can
book. Well, that was my next question. Yeah. How can I book in?
Well, you might have some.
I'm glad you've got my note, Cheryl.
How I would go about it. Yes. You can go to the Adderjoy website, which is adderjoy.org.nz, and click on in the navigation above education and scroll down to the booking form.
Easy.
And also call us. You can call us. I have a mailing list for educators. So if you're a teacher listening and you would like to hear about the next and upcoming education program, then get in touch and I'll add you to my list.
And they can also email, can't they?
Yes.
Easy. And if they forget all of that, they can even just pick up a what's on and all the information's on there as well.
Yes.
Easy. It's like we're trying to get people in. Well done. Cheryl, before you disappear, would you like to introduce your favourite song for us to listen to?
Yes.
First. And tell us why it's your favourite song. So I have to pronounce it because I just really couldn't.
This song was sent to me by one of my creative collaborators, Vera, who I met in Amsterdam, and we put on a exhibition together which invited lots of other artists to join in about cycling, or the love of cycling, back in, 2008, I think. Anyway, Vera sent me this song, and Vera's great. And this song always cheers me up. It's by a musician who sadly passed away fairly recently.
Oh, no.
But he is called Olga Chuke.
Okay.
And he is kind of early in the kraut rock scene. He's German. And I'm just going to read this bit out because I want to make sure I get it right.
Okay.
He basically, not this particular song that I've chosen. I'll tell you why I've chosen this one shortly, but I just wanted to say while we're on the radio that he developed a technique called radio painting. He treated the shortwave radio as a musical instrument.
Oh, I love him already.
Which I found out after I kind of looked him up because I wanted to play his song today. And he used recordings and snippets of foreign broadcasts, news and speeches and wove them into his solo work.
Amazing.
So today's song is called Cool in the Pool. I love swimming. I love the water. I'm a fire sign. The water is good for me. Let's get cool in the pool.
Let's get cool in the pool. All right, let's go.
Let's get hot on the dancing spot. Hot.
Oh, is it hot?
Cool together.
know.
Interesting. I think Sarah's quite keen on you, Sarah. You're like dancing along.
I loved it. I was saying that it just made it clear that we made the right decision yes. having Cheryl, because it was such a good song.
It was bonkers.
Yeah, glad you enjoyed it.
But you were smiling all the way through that show. Like, and what did you say? You're like, I just feel like I've been for a swim.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me on.
You're welcome. And I'm sure you'll get heaps of bookings.
Yes.
Heaps.
Yes, great. Look forward to that.
If you want to scuttle off.
Okay. Bye, Cheryl.
See you tomorrow, Cheryl. Bye. Sarah, afternoon.
Afternoon, Becky.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
Oh, I feel even though we're in the same office, we hardly ever spent any time together, do we?
We've been very busy lately.
It's been pretty busy. Well, talking of that, should we talk about some of the exhibitions that we've got on at the moment?
Definitely.
What do you want to start with?
Well, I think we have to start with the one that is closing the soonest.
Good point.
And that is Marula's Gowns and Miss Golden Shears.
Isn't that just a fabulous show?
What I love is you explain it to people and they, like, you can know what you're seeing, but you don't know what you're seeing.
Yes.
Like, saying to the people, woolen ball gowns from the 1970s, and you think hippy dippy, like, I've had people think it was literally, like, hand knitted. And it's like, oh, no, no, no.
No, no, no.
These are fabulous woven woolen gowns that are sparkly and colourful and just fabulous.
So beautiful. I still have to look at that beautiful, that main purple one every time I walk by, because I just, it's so beautiful. Those little sequin beads just along that kind of neckline. Oh,
and just
amazing.
The nostalgia of it. Yeah. I mean, the fact that we had, Miss Golden Shears, beauty pageant, and which has its own sort of archaic, how does it align with feminism kind of ideas. But what we loved in researching it, Jo Tor, our collection curator, did the hard yards on this one, is the way it directly ties to female entrepreneurship in the Wairarapa with Marula's gowns, that it opened up a whole spectrum of accessibility, of business, of acclaim for Marula's gowns.
So everybody, if you've not seen it yet, go in and see, because I think it's closing... Oh, in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
A couple of weeks.
Gosh, it doesn't feel like 2 minutes ago we put that up.
No, but it is leading to a rather exciting exhibition.
Oh, is it, Sarah?
I don't know if you've heard of a wonderful exhibition curator and coordinator called Becky Bateman.
Oh, she sounds amazing.
you've been working on Patented for the last couple of years. It's been one of those ideas that sort of like formed as a seed in the back of your head and has just been flourishing and growing.
Many years ago, I think I even thought about this maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I've been tinkering with it ever since, and just it just seems to be everywhere I look there's a story about an invention. I'm like, oh, just clearly in tune with this at the moment, you know, any podcast I listen to, oh, it's about an invention, ah, here we go. And it's been so hard not to just write about so many inventions and kind of whittle it down to only 20 odd, because I could have just gone on forever. I could have just filled the entire gallery up, invention after invention after invention.
Well, we could have a non-stop exhibition of inventions. But what I love about the way you've approached it is it's gone from like, it's the sublime to the ridiculous. Mm. It's the way in which almost everything in our world has some sort of human intervention that has changed it, perfected it, created something brand new that no one has ever thought about, but fundamentally changed the way we live our day-to-day lives.
Exactly. And it's full of so many simple things you wouldn't even think were inventions, like sugar or the bicycle, you know, things you don't actually think of. Oh, yeah. How was that even invented? How did that even become something?
To me, it's that classic case. You look at something and you think, who ever thought to eat this, to make this, or think about this?
Yes. So it's a very exciting one. I'm very excited about it going up beginning of July, I believe. So not long. So, yes, replacing lovely Marula's gowns, but with inventions.
Yes, it's going to be very fun. And, and the great thing about Becky's exhibitions is there's always an interactive element.
Yes, I do love. I do love a bit of a hands-on and people getting involved. In fact, I'm talking with Mark Pacey about this next month, and I have a little game for him to try and work out which order things are invented in. So I won't spoil it, but there's going to be a game involved in this exhibition. You have to try and work out the order of some inventions, and that's surprising. You kind of go, was that really invented before this? Yes, it was. Oh, hello, Cheryl.
Just back from my bag.
Oh. yes, I'm very excited about that one. But what else is coming up? So what else have we got at the moment?
Well, speaking of participation, we now have a bit of a habit over the winter of having something really participatory in our Wesley Wing. That's really a sort of our community-focused exhibition space.
Our winter extravaganza, isn't it, for families?
Well, exactly. I mean, if you've got kids and it's in the middle of winter, the winter school holidays, it's like today, miserable and cold. And when you'd normally go to the park after you've been to the indoor pool, come over to Aratoi and we've got storytellers on the show.
And this is all about graphic novels and storytelling and just a lovely family nerdy show, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what I love about it, it's a combination of works from the collection that sort of make you ask questions. You need to look deeper. There's a lot of detail, or it's a bit strange, or it tells a story that you need to figure out. And then accompanying that is a really great little breakout zone for reading. The Marston Library gave us some ex-library books.
Big shout out to Marston Library. Thank you so much.
So that means it's somewhere you can go somewhere and sit and be together and read. We've got a place to make zines, to do a postcard, to write a story to someone in your life.
And send it on.
Send it to someone. A comic book making table.
This is so busy, Sarah. It's such a busy space.
I know, but it's great because what I love about it is you can legitimately spend like hours in there creating and engaging in a really hands-on way of learning.
And a really quite fun, colourful way, isn't it? Purposely, it was quite fun, you and I, working out the colour scheme, going, oh, should we have some green over here? Oh, let's have some orange. It's been quite a fun one to do, this one. And just trying to get in the mind of a 9, 10, 11-year-old.
Well, that's the great thing as well, is that what most people don't know about exhibition making is that we kind of have standard heights that we hang things at that is, you know, eye level for a good enough proportion of the population. But what we did for this exhibition is purposely hang everything that little bit lower so that it's much easier for our younger visitors to engage with the face-to-face with the artworks.
And we've chosen artwork that hasn't been out for ages, haven't we? There's work there. I don't think you've ever seen them.
Exactly. I think there's maybe couple of the works that I've seen out, but everything else is stuff that, especially a print collection, which doesn't get seen enough, that's out for everyone to experience.
So do go and have a look. There's challenges there. And like Sarah says, you can be there for hours. And that's the plan, isn't it, really? So come in, enjoy the space, kind of get your bearings with comics, but also enjoy the art. You know, it's a great family little space.
And I think it's a great way to enforce why art is so important, because art is a central part of storytelling. I mean, before we had language, we had art that we were telling stories with.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so we've got storytellers, we've got Maruya's gowns. What else we got?
Well, in the Forsyth Bar Windows Gallery, we have Jana Van Hasselt's Blowout, which I don't know if we really understood at the time.
I don't think I understood what it was going to be like.
Well, I understood it would be intense, but I also didn't really appreciate how much it would be perfect for winter.
Yes.
Because, excuse me, the background of her installation is neon pink.
And proper neon, not pretend, proper bright neon.
My favourite thing is to stop and have conversations with people in that space because you see their whole face become red.
Like they're sunburned.
Because of the reflection. Yes. And so in the middle of a cold, dreary day, walking in and seeing this intense colour is really amazing. Mm. But also what I like about it as well is that the more you look at it, the stranger it becomes.
Yes, and this has really hit me over the last couple of weeks because obviously I saw it go up and you go, oh, I have, yeah, but I know what's going on. But every time I walk past it, I see a different colour or a different shape. Or I kind of go, oh, I haven't seen that one before. These kind of curly, twisted and kind of bent, bizarre hairs.
Yeah, well, tendrils. I don't call them tendrils because it means that they can be anything. Jan is very interested in what people see in it. She doesn't have a specific idea about what they are, but I mean, it's called blowout, which makes you think of hair, like you're getting a blowout for your hairstyle, but blowout like a party. These are all these tendrils coming out from the wall, sometimes at 90 degrees from the wall of porcelain that are reaching out. On the tip of each of them is the same colour as the wall.
Yes, so it's looks almost pink fingernail almost, isn't it?
Almost, yeah, like they're reaching out for you. Like some people have seen fungi. Definitely it's got this sort of alien biome form kind of feel to it. But as you said, they're interacting with each other, they're twisted on each other, they're just like a sort of riot of colour. And I'm like, I know that I'll spend the whole months that this is on, and there'll be ones at the end that I'm still like, I didn't notice that one.
I haven't seen that one before. Yes. And I love her really clever way of attaching it to the wall so you can't see it's attached. It's kind of I think we've gone on the front desk, haven't we, that you can see the back of, but it looks like kind of almost like a keyhole.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of slots in. So clever, because it looks like it's actually growing out from the wall.
That's the amazing thing about it, is that, and the way she works in this with these kind of shows, is that it is made for other toy. Mm. Like, it's site specific. If you go around the corner, you'll see that there are ones that are small so that the door can fully open.
Yes,
it's just like really conceived of the whole space.
Like it's been shaved, isn't it? Like stubble. I think what I like about it is that, like you say, it seems to change almost every day. Sometimes I see kind of weeds in a forest, like there's so many, but then individually you see a colour, like, oh, you know, they all kind of blend together as a whole. I mean, they're so different.
And my favourite thing is, especially when kids come in, is asking them how many they think there are.
I was just going to say, should we tell people how many there are?
Well, I think you have to come in and try and guess. Okay. Because the thing that throws you as well is the shadows.
Yes.
I mean, there are a lot there. And when I mean a lot, I mean a lot.
Yes. This is hundreds.
A huge amount of work that she's put into this. But also what she was excited about as well is the way in which they interact even more through the shadows.
Because that wasn't even a thing when we were just putting it up, and she's like, actually, these shadows are fantastic. We're like, oh, they are. And it really almost doubles, triples, quadruples the amount of hair, tendrils there is.
Exactly.
And they're so fun. So yeah, that is a fun one. How long is that one on for? That one's on till August, I believe,
it is.
Isn't it?
Yes, until Simon goes up.
There you go, until Simon goes up. And so we've got the Windows Gallery, we've got the Wesley Wing, we've got the Social History Gallery, Transit Group Social History Gallery. What's in the main gallery?
So in the main gallery, we have Tenuranga Tanetanga. Mm. I'm sure those of you who listen to RFM have heard other people on the waves talking about it. I know the team at Rangitane have a show, Sunny in particular. Sunny is the project manager for this exhibition. This has been another one that's been years and decades in the making.
It really has. I think ever since I even joined, there was talk of this kind of show going on, but it's actually happened.
I know. It's pretty special. And what I love about it is that we're talking about what happens afterwards as well. So if you haven't been in, I'm hoping that a lot of you have already, because this is a sort of a very special moment for the Wairarapa. But it started in February with the arrival on the ocean that is the state highway.
from Levin?
Coming from Levin to Waka Wairua o Kurahopo, the spirit of Kurahopo Waka, which is the Kurahopo Committee commissioned for the 1990 150th celebrations from the signing of Te Tiriti.
So it's not the actual one?
It's not the actual Kurahopo, because the actual Kurahopo came to Aotearoa over 1,000 years ago.
Okay, so fair enough. Not the actual one.
But it's the spirit of the waka that brought the descendants that make up Rangitane today to Aotearoa.
I see.
And what is amazing about it is that it is a bit like reflective of what the exhibition is that it's about the past, the present and the future of Rangitane. This is the spirit, this is the speaking about the original Kurahopo waka. But it's also was made with a technology that was only a few years old when it was made, fiberglass.
I was going to say, yes.
So the hull of it is fiberglass with traditional carvings in what is likely Tōtara, which tells the story of navigation, but the story of Te Tiriti and of the people who whakapapa to Kurahopo. And what's really exciting about it is that, I mean, it's not uncontroversial in the fact that it is not is carved out of a single tōtara, but it speaks to the way in which under Te Tiriti and that Rangitane have adapted and really held strong to their identity with new technologies as well.
Fantastic. And can people touch the waka? Can they?
Well, they can even get in the waka.
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
That's the really exciting thing. And also, it's in our courtyard, so you feel like you're outside, not quite under the stars because it needs to be protected, but that you can, and quite often when you come in, there'll be someone from Rangitane who can tell you the story of Kurahopo and the story of Rangitane.
Here it is here. So if you're online, you can actually see a picture of the waka just here. And as you can see, it's under this enormous tent, beautifully kind of curated the environment around it, isn't it, with those power shells and everything. But yes, you can see just how enormous it is.
It's huge. It's actually too big for our courtyard yes. space. Had to have hoarding walls built out for it, and it came in at the end of February in the middle of the night because we had to close the street for it, and had to get cranes, and it was a bit of a sight it coming down the highway on the back of a big truck. But it's been really incredible. It's the first time it's come to the Wairarapa. It was when it was rode for the first time, it had Wairarapa people on it.
Fantastic.
And a lot of them was the first waka they'd rode. And it's really fast. And when it goes home to live in, it's going back to a new spot for it by the marae near the lake so that it can be on the water again.
Amazing.
The last time it was on the water was maybe the late 2000s, okay. So 2008, 2009, maybe a little 2006. So it'll be really exciting for it to get back on the water again.
And how many people do you reckon you can fit in there?
Well, I think when it was first rode at Waitangi, it had about 60 people on it.
Whoa, okay.
You could fit more on it.
Crikey.
I know we've had almost 100 kids on it.
Oh, well, they're smaller.
it's really impressive.
So that's open pretty much every day?
Yep, every day. Well, that you can come in, Tuesday through Sunday, have a touch, hear the kōrero about it. It's pretty spectacular.
And so, is this a part of the main exhibition?
Well, yeah. I mean, the part of the reason it's arrived before the main exhibition, but in a lot of ways that makes sense because it arrived and ushered the beginning of Rangitāne being in Aotearoa. Just the same way as it arrived and ushered the beginning of Tino Rangitānitanga, the exhibition
like
in the main gallery.
I like it.
That exhibition, it draws from our collection at Aotearoa, or the collection of taonga that we care for, including portraits of tipuna, rangatira, that tell the story of Rangitāne and the Wairarapa. It includes taonga that was discovered throughout the Wairarapa that tell the story of people who lived here and what they did. It has another waka and another waka strake in it because journeying is a strong part of the story of Aotearoa.
I think what amazes me about that exhibition is that huge whakapapa family tree at one end, and it just kind of goes right the way back to when Rangitāne started, and just the amount of people that are on that family tree.
Well, that's the thing, is it has all the names of the whānau who are Rangitāne and the Wairarapa, and it traces them all back to Māui.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Through Kupe, through Rangitāne, because Rangitāne was a person as well.
Which I did not know before this exhibition. I had no idea.
When we were talking about it with the exhibition team to start, before this all started, what I was really excited about was not only that Rangitāne would have, through this process, more knowledge about themselves, but those of us who are either maybe don't originally come from the Wairarapa, like myself and you and Cheryl, but also the people who have maybe lived in the Wairarapa their whole lives who haven't heard this story, because a lot of these stories were not told or repressed for so many decades, and this is a really strong part of Rangitāne reclaiming their own histories and being able to tell those stories in an unflinching way.
Amazing. Well, if you haven't been, that's on full until the 19th of July, so you've still got a month and a bit, and it is fascinating.
Everyone in the Wairarapa has to see it because it is so crucial to who we are.
Moving on very quickly, not to an exhibition because now we've covered all of that, but we do have a collab with Marston Library on Friday.
We do.
For Pride Month, which is exciting.
It's really exciting.
Do you want to tell us what's going on?
Well, you probably know more about it than I do. But
so we've got Frank New, who's this fashion historian, and he asked if we could do, or he could present to talk about fashion dolls and kind of gay fashion dolls, which I, again, did not know was actually a thing. So he's going to bring in some dolls on Friday and have a talk about yeah, the queer history of fashion dolls, which sounds super fun.
Which I think, given that we've got Marula Scowns on at the moment, we felt like it was, you know, the idea of the history of fashion and the way that plays into gender, yep. Which, I mean, right for right or wrong, gender and sexuality have always been things that have been considered simultaneously in a lot of cases. Yep. But also we have a history of showing dolls and play here. We did Becky curated an exhibition about toy history and play histories.
And we have the history of the Pride flag in Patented.
Exactly.
So it all just beautifully comes together. And so on that link, who else could we have for our next song but Elton John?
Perfect.
Of course. So we've got good old Elton John. Enjoy.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. Meant to cut me down. And if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. No, I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without.
Sarah, I think you and I agree, Elton John's the best.
Oh, fabulous.
I mean, how more fabulous can you be? Right, so we've only got about 10 minutes left of the show. Sarah, what is coming up after all these shows finish? Because it's on a constant schedule. What's coming up next?
We say every month you come into Udder Toy, there's something new to see. So we've talked about Patented, which is coming up next, and Simon Ray, which we're excited about. But in the main gallery, we have two exhibitions that are going to be coming up in August. The middle of August is when they open. And that is The Imaginary Archive by Hannah Bremner.
And I've got actually a photo from her.
So Hannah is Wellington based, and interestingly, I've known her for about 20 years.
No!
Well, probably not 20 years, but probably about 16, 17 years. Well, given that her exhibition is called The Imaginary Archive, it makes a lot of sense that we met at Archives New Zealand. So she currently works there, and I used to work there.
Okay.
And, but she is also an artist. Glass is where she started, but she also like Cheryl, is multidisciplinary in how she works, but there will be definitely some glass involved.
Okay.
And given that she's interested in archives and memory, this exhibition works with the idea of collecting and the way in which collections are reflections of people and cultures and societies. They're not neutral. They're built and shaped and changed. And she'll be using parts of our collection as well to engage with this.
Gosh, our collection's really getting a good workout recently, isn't it?
Well, it's also getting a workout in the other exhibition.
Oh, what?
On in the main gallery. It's another one of those things that it turns out that, that we knew that these two artists would work well together, and they're very similarly on the same page about accessing collections and the somewhat dubious history of collecting.
Okay.
The other artist is Carterton-based Angela Singer, who's shown nationally, internationally. She's a pretty incredible maker, and her exhibition is called Overmorrow, which I love. It's very evocative. It makes you question, what does that mean?
Yes.
It's a very archaic way of saying the day after tomorrow. Oh. So it's what I loved about it is that it's old-fashioned but future-focused.
Okay.
And that's very much what her exhibition is and what her engagement of the collection is. So her work in general uses a lot of taxidermy. She is, and ironically, purposely, she is very interested in animal welfare. She's a vegetarian.
Really?
She only uses old taxidermy, and part of what she's talking about is the way in which these animals have been had their autonomy, had their identity stripped from them in the process of humans capturing and killing and creating narratives with their bodies. And a lot of museum collections have significant collections of taxidermy, us included.
Us included, yes.
And sometimes they're deeply, deeply sad. We have mounted huia, and we have huia skins. Mm. And those are really beautiful and awful when you think about the fact that the reason we have them is because they were killed.
Yep.
And because we killed them, they are extinct.
Yes.
And so a lot of her exhibition is having mourning processes as part of the exhibition and allowing these animals to mourn themselves and each other. The image you'll see up here at the moment is some taxidermied birds in a net. And this netting is acting like a trap, like they've been caught, but also them in black. It's like a veil.
So, there's too many layers already.
And so she'll be using her own collection, as well as, will be borrowing a couple of works from other artists who've created images that reflect this. But she'll also be using work from the, objects from the collection that will be engaged with, maybe they'll be on a plinth or up high, and her work will be a mourning parade or things like that. It's going to be pretty creepy,
yes.
Pretty cool, pretty interesting, pretty challenging.
I like how both of those two women are kind of in the same space at each end. They kind of do talk to each other, don't they?
Well, what I really am excited about is I'm really interested in artists who engage with collections and museums and really talk about the ways in which museums are established and how they've changed and how they're shaped. I mean, most of us, Aditoy included, and one of our collections is the Masterton Museum. And so much of the objects in the Masterton Museum we have no provenance for. We have no context for who collected them, how it was collected, where it was collected, because what they were interested in was curiosity. Was
just collecting for the
collecting for the sake of it. Of this, isn't this strange? Isn't this unique? Isn't this from somewhere we don't know? Whereas in these days, we don't collect unless it's got a really strong heritage connection. What story does it tell? We're constantly saying, who is it about? What is it about? What does it tell us about, in particular, the Wairarapa?
Yeah.
And so what these artists are doing is calling out that history, of that when you remove context from an object, you remove meaning from it.
Yes.
And what artists can do is establish new contexts, and their new meaning is what they tell us about the museum.
Gosh, Is there going to be any public programs around these ones?
Hopefully. We're working on those logistics at the moment, but I think there'll definitely be some interesting panel discussions we can have about the history of collecting.
Wow. So when you Google kind of Angela Singer, you kind of get quite a bejeweled taxidermy. Is any of those going to be in the show?
There'll definitely be some bling in the show. She has, like beauty and horror, the two things that really typify her work.
Amazing. And so fabulous. She's local.
I know.
It's amazing. I have to get her on.
It's just that we have such incredible artists in the Wairarapa.
We do. Oh, that's going to be so interesting. And I think quite different to what's been shown for the rest of the year. Do you want to talk about what's coming up at the end of the year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
all the beans.
Well, I think the most exciting thing that people will be really excited about in the main gallery is Stephen Allwood's.
Yeah.
If you know anything about arts in the Wairarapa, you probably know who Stephen Allwood is. At the moment, he's now based in South Wairarapa, but one of his earliest, most influential works is the work that he's done in of painting the entire inside of the Greek Orthodox Church. Yes. Just outside of Masterton.
And it is insane.
Yeah, he did that as a very young man, just out of high school.
Yeah, it's just incredible. It's just, I can't even put into words what it was like. If you've never been, try and get yourself on a tour. Sometimes they open it, don't they?
Well, I'm sure we'll be able to manage some tours while while he's open with us. But it's going to be this exhibition. It's going to be new work, but also looking back at a survey of his past works.
Because we've got quite a few in the collection, haven't we?
We do, but he also has a lot of really amazing collectors who have incredible pieces. And there's going to be one wall which is just going to be a big tall wall is going to be a full salon gallery hang of just of Stephen's history of art.
Wow.
On one wall.
That's going to be incredible.
Well, it's amazing to see someone's career all in one space, and you can see where it's diverged, but where different themes and ideas just wind their way back into his work. And he's such a beautiful painter.
And he just does things on a big scale.
Yep. But there's also some nice little intimate works that'll be in there as well.
I think I first knew him from the glasses that we had up in Aberdoy. And then I think I was went to someone's house and I was like, oh, they had this huge, enormous ice cream sundae. And I was like, I know who did that. And they're everywhere.
But also landscapes, flowers. I saw a really amazing exhibition of his, which is all bread.
Yes,
who his bakery series, yes. That could be like so, I mean, I love bread, but it was just like Renaissance paintings of bread.
Yes, yes. Because isn't he now the baker down in Martinborough? Doesn't he own the bakery?
His wife own a bakery.
Yes. So lots of inspiration there.
Yeah.
That's going to be fabulous. We've also obviously got Little Jewels coming up this year.
Yeah.
Our big fundraiser for
we're going to be, making some changes this year. So watch this space. It's going to be bigger and better than ever.
So exciting. And obviously Top Art. Top Art's coming back again in August.
Yep. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's always really interesting and really informative to see what our young people are doing.
They're just amazing. Like the variety. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. It really, they're fabulous. It's one of my favourite times of year to kind of see these new artists. On theme of students, we have Breadcraft, of course.
Oh, yes.
How can we forget Breadcraft?
Love Breadcraft. That is just like joy in one room. It's perfect.
I do love Breadcraft. I love that you can see themes running through it year by year, that obviously the last year's Breadcraft has influenced this year's Breadcraft, and teachers are going, oh, I really quite like that idea from last year. I'll have a go at that this year. And yeah, you just kind of see these themes running through, and yeah, it's fabulous. I do like the naivety, but also those ones that you clearly have all done in the class, they're all exactly the same, but they've all got their personality on each one. you know, they're not all identical. And I think last thing is the embroiderers.
Yeah.
They're returning.
And it's what's really exciting this year is that they're also going to be including some historic examples of, which again, I love artists and makers that think about the past, the present and the future. And so what they're interested in is showing the history of their art form, which is going to be pretty special.
They're always a popular show, aren't they, the embroiderers? Yeah. They always do quite an incredible, needlework is hard.
Oh, yeah.
And just the stuff they make every other year is just beautiful. So is there anything we've forgotten? Any other exhibitions we've forgotten?
I'm sure there's something, but
can't think. Oh, there is. Watch this space.
Exactly.
Sarah, thank you so much for coming on and joining me this afternoon, talking about what's on now, what's on later, what's coming up. It's been so good to talk. Thank you.
Yeah, and also those artists who are listening, remember September we open up our proposals. So start thinking about exhibitions you might want to have at Aratoe.
For 2028.
I know, 2028.
Gosh, we're so far in advance, isn't it?
But a lot of these makers, you need time to make, to edit, to figure out what you want to do.
And like if you're like me, thinking about inventions for feels like years and years and years, it needs to take a little while to kind of get that fully formed, doesn't it?
Exactly.
So what can they do if they have an idea? Can anybody enter?
Absolutely anyone. We've got information on our website. If you go to exhibitions, you'll scroll down, you'll see exhibition proposals, be able to find out more information. But also if you have any questions, feel free to get in touch with us.
Yeah.
Always happy to help.
Always. So if you're a group, if you're on your own, an individual, if you've got a collective, if you're a partner, whatever, just pop it in, just give us some information, send us some images and give it a go. Why not?
It's you've got nothing to lose.
Got nothing to lose. Everything to gain. Indeed. That's how these guys got in. That's how Yana and Simon Ray got in. They just sent us a proposal and that was it.
Exactly.
Easy. Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you very much for taking out of your very busy week to come on the radio.
My pleasure.
And thank you everyone for listening. And please do come and see those exhibitions we've been talking about. And, come and join us for, our fabulous Frank New, Pride talk on Friday. That's at 6 o'clock. It's free. Come on down. And next month we're talking inventions, of course, with Mark Pacey. So I invited him on to have a bit of a chat about his favorite inventions as well. So thank you very much everyone for listening, and see you next month. Bye bye.